In the name of God, who has made us and who loves us and keeps us. Amen. You may be seated. I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true, who toiled and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green. We usually have to wait a whole year before we get to sing that beloved hymn, Wait for All Saints Sunday. But when I worked at St. Andrew's School, the saints, we sang it all the time. And that second verse was the one the kids loved the most and sang the loudest. One was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was slain, and this was the part they loved, by a fierce wild beast. And one of those saints was a bishop, and one was another bishop, and one was a deacon, I think, right up here. One was an apostle. One was a baptizer. One was a woman. One of those saints was a fisherman. One was a civil rights leader. One was an artist. One was a scientist. One was a teacher, a student, a grandparent. One was a baby. Lots have been children. One was a chef. One of those saints of God is sitting right beside you. One of them was an accountant. One was a writer. One was an evangelist. One was a lawmaker. One of those saints, I hope, was a knitter. One, perhaps, was a knitter like me. And so those of us who are love this day because we get to pray a collect that says, O God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship. So I take that as a good enough reason for me to tell you a little bit today about knitting. There are lots of things that happen when we knit. We have thread. We have a needle. There's a pattern. There are our hands. There's hopefully, if it's me, somebody sitting nearby to help when things get tangled. And when we knit, an extraordinary thing happens. Stitch by stitch by stitch by stitch, that thread through the needles with our hands, according to the pattern, becomes something more than it was when it started. And in the midst of whatever it is, a jacket, a blanket, a sock, a scarf, are all kinds of different stitches. Most of them are ordinary, plain old stitches, a knit stitch and a purl stitch, over and over and over again. But there are other kinds of stitches too. Some of them are made when you wrap the yarn around the needle one extra time. Some of them are made when you push the needle through two stitches at once and pull them off together. Some of them are made when you slip a stitch from one needle to the other and then work it maybe a little bit backwards. All these different stitches go in to a finished piece. They all are knit together into one fabric. Some of the stitches lean a little left, perhaps if we're making a cable. Some of those stitches lean a little right. Some of those stitches stand right in the center, holding a piece together and making it stable. Some of those stitches are beautiful and ornate, and they lend beauty and artistic quality to the piece. But it's one common thread that makes them all. So it's not surprising that this would be the language we use in our prayer today, the language we use to describe the communion of saints, each one so different from the others, each one of us so different. Some of us are ordained, and some of us are laypersons. Some of the saints spoke Greek. Some saints speak just Spanish. Some of them speak English and Dinka. Some of them speak French. Some are from England. Some lived in Jerusalem. Some were born 2,000 years ago. Some will be born tomorrow. Some of them have traveled all over the world, and some have never left the state of Mississippi. Some of them are Marys, and some of them are Marthas. But they are all of them saints of God, all from a common thread. Mary and Martha perhaps are the most different of any saints that have been, so different that there's a whole story in the gospel about it. It's the first time we meet them in John's gospel. It's at their house, and they are there, and Jesus comes, and you remember how it goes. Mary sits at Jesus' feet and soaks in everything he says. She listens. She's contemplative. She's quiet. Martha is busy in the kitchen. She can't stop moving. She can't stop serving. She can't stop making everything hospitable and beautiful for everyone there. And they fuss at each other. Each one thinks the other should be like them. In the story we hear today, we find out what makes these very different sisters one and the same after all. Their brother has died, and they share their grief, they share their anger, they share their frustration. Jesus comes and says, "Lazarus, come out," with a loud voice. And in that marvelous moment, life with Christ is revealed as something more than that which can be ended by death. And that would be a marvelous thing. That would be enough. But something even more wonderful and astonishing happens. "Unbind him and let him go," Jesus says to Martha and to Mary and to everyone else who was there. And it is perhaps the greatest wonder in this story. Not that God in Christ gives life, but that we would be asked in all of our diversity and all of our differences and all of the ways that we have to serve, that we would be asked to participate with Christ in the giving of life, in unbinding this world and one another from all that diminishes life and all that leads to death. Jesus doesn't invite just one of them to do that work. Jesus says to them all, "Work with me, unbind him, and let him go." Today is not just any saint's day. Today is all saints' day. And in the oldest sense of the word, before a saint was some singular, exemplary Christian, in Holy Scripture, all the believers were called saints. Most of them didn't perform miracles or walk out of graves or have feast days named for them. Most of them have never appeared in a stained glass window or a storybook. The sign of their sainthood wasn't a halo, but the seal of the Holy Spirit given at baptism, marking them as it has marked us as Christ's own forever and calling them to a new life of faith. Jesus is the common thread, and the baptismal covenant, the pattern. Our hands are at work in our unique and varied and wonderful ways, helping Jesus in the work. Our windows and our calendars of holy women and holy men are full of people who were extraordinary lights in their generations, proclaiming the gospel as they did in the face of persecution or in the midst of war, in the throes of illness, or by means of poetry or from positions of power or from positions of poverty in remote places or having given up everything, some of them even at the cost of their lives. We go to work or go to school. We go to the store. We pay our bills. We walk the dog. We mow the grass. We talk with friends. We buy our groceries. We watch the news. We plan dinner. It hardly seems that we live the lives of saints. But our prayer book, in its catechism, sides with Scripture when it says, the communion of saints is the whole family of God. Those whom we love, those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. We are saints not because we have done something extraordinary, although I know many of you have done extraordinary things. But we are not saints because we have done something extraordinary. We are saints because Jesus has done something extraordinary in us and through us, inviting us to come alive and participate together and with him in the work of loving and light-giving and peacemaking and community-building right where we are. So what might Jesus do through us, the saints of God in our generation? We are parents, grandparents, volunteers, musicians, educators, lawmakers, friends, librarians, accountants, neighbors, retirees, students, consumers, nurses, citizens, first responders, voters. Perhaps we will cure disease. Perhaps we will sit at the bedside of someone who is sick and comfort them. Perhaps we will make world peace. Perhaps we will reconcile with someone we have hurt. Perhaps we will end racism and anti-Semitism and sexism and prejudice and violence and divisiveness and hate of every kind. Perhaps we will befriend someone different than ourselves and learn that they are beautiful. In knitting, when we do get all tangled up, all bound up, when we get anxious, when things don't go well, we can always unknit. And to do that with those same hands, with those same needles, with that same person by our side helping, we work slowly back through every stitch, taking them out until once again, all that's left is that common thread, the thread that started it all. And we can return to the pattern. We can start again. So it is in our community of faith, on a day like today, when we bring into our fellowship someone new, and we are reminded as we say together our baptismal covenant, starting again with one another to live that life in Christ. With Andrew, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, with John Maury Allen and William Mercer Green, with Columba, Teresa, Julian, with Sojourner Truth, Martin Luther King, Thomas Merton, with Harvey Johnston, Adele Crispin, Julia Blood, with Kelly and Eula, with Marianne and Ben, with Abie, Jace, Keith, with Charles Garner, Truett, Cadence, Marie, with you and me, we are all of us saints of God. And I mean God helping to be one too. Amen.